Full Story is supported by AMP Super. There are moments in life where everything shifts. A new job, a new home, a new direction. But those same moments can also shape your future. AMP calls these super moments. Times to check in on your super. And with 24/7 digital financial advice, AMP Super helps you make more confident decisions as your situation changes. Search AMP Super Moments to find out more. AMP Super. Built for life's super moments. AMP Super, issued by NM Superannuation Proprietary Limited. See PDS and TMD on amp.com.au and consider what's right for you.
Tori, welcome back to Full Story.
Rachel, I'm so happy to be here.
Tori, when did you first start looking at this anti-abortion rally social media post and the images that were used in it?
It's a little over a week ago now that I saw these images of what looked like little wriggly pink creatures.
And what made you suspect or question the veracity of those images?
So when you look at them, they very much do not look like they're human fetuses. One looks like it has a little snout. But I did not twig straight away. I cannot take credit. I actually had a little tip off. And then somebody, I suspect, did a tricky little reverse Google image of some kind. And then we came up with the sugar gliders.
And you actually spoke to experts about what some of the clues were in those images, that they weren't human fetuses. How did they describe to you what tipped them off?
So I spoke to a range of medical experts, not all of whom I included in the story. A lot of people talked about things like the head proportion was all wrong. You know, human babies have notoriously large heads. There was a lot of talk about what else you would see if there had been an abortion as it was described, whether you would see a placenta, an umbilical cord. But honestly, I think a lot of people just looked at it and went, that's not a human fetus.
The person that posted this image, along with the call to attend a rally, is an anti-abortion activist called Joanna Howe. What was her response to questions around the veracity of this image?
I've been writing about Joanna Howe for quite a while now. She very rarely responds to any questions at all. And in this case, her response was, it really doesn't matter. So in short, she was saying it doesn't matter that she's been using a picture of sugar gliders in order to invoke emotion and to get people out to an anti-abortion rally. She just said it didn't matter. She insinuated it had been some kind of setup that I was involved in, which was also incorrect. When I actually heard from the person who had sent it to her, so, you know, it was somebody who wanted to test out whether she would fact check. And Joanna Howe did not fact check that, which is why it ended up on the rally poster.
Did Joanna Howe actually say whether she checked the veracity? Did she answer that question?
She said, and I'm paraphrasing, something like, "We've been scammed. It's a hoax." And her only flaw was to have been too trusting.
I'm interested more in Joanna Howe as an anti-abortion activist. What more do we know about her, and how instrumental is she in some of these campaigns?
So very instrumental, which is why I guess we keep covering her. You know, as journalists, you sort of have to think, are we platforming certain people for no reason, or is it in the public interest? How do we cover this particular person? And with Joanna Howe, she has been credited with working on a lot of legislation that has then been introduced. So various parties and so on, she's been described as the legal lead on some legislation or like a co-author. She turns up to press conferences with people who are introducing the legislation. So she's having this very direct impact, which makes her worthy of covering and interesting as well. I monitored everything in the United States in the lead up to the downfall of Roe versus Wade, the overturning, and since then with interest, but I guess now, you know, seeing some of the micro detail of how these people kind of strategize to try and wind back access is fascinating.
She's very effective on social media and posts a lot, and she's been posting encouraging people to attend a rally that's happening in Sydney Tuesday night. We're talking Tuesday morning, so it hasn't gone ahead yet. But one of the social media strategies has been responding most recently to The Guardian and to yourself as a journalist. What does that say about that particular approach and that engagement with our reporting?
I think it's something that works really well with her audiences, and she has a huge, very passionate fan base out there. She would say this is not deliberate, but it certainly channels a lot of anger and rage towards anyone who is at all critical of what she is proposing. I think the most outstanding example of that is that she's labelled anyone who was against one of her pieces of anti-abortion legislation as the Baby Killers Club on her social media, many of whom were then targeted by her followers. I should be clear to say that's not Joanna Howe targeting them, but the nature of social media means that once they are profiled so much on her social media, other people go after them, and there have been sort of death threats and all sorts of things.
Joanna Howe is one activist. I'm wondering, though, is it an example of a broader anti-abortion movement gaining pace at the moment, trying to push for the recriminalisation of abortion?
Look, it really is. And there are two factors spurring this on. One is what we've seen in the United States. So that was the overturning of Roe versus Wade, and then the states all bringing in different hodgepodges of abortion laws, but a vastly reduced access to abortion for women in the United States. And the second one here is that by 2024, all states and territories had decriminalized abortion, taking it out of the criminal code, and then had their own rules in place. So I think those two things really spurred this movement on. There are a lot of groups that were already working in this space, a lot of particularly religious groups, but everything has now been supercharged, and social media supercharges all of that again. And we're seeing different sorts of, like, Joanna actually runs two other groups. One's called Bird Flip, which has young women out on the streets with very graphic pictures of abortion, putting them in people's faces and asking them about them. And my personal favourite, Tradies for Babies.
That's something that Joanna Howe is involved in as well.
Yes,
right?
Yes. So, yes, Tradies for Babies, encouraging tradies to get involved in women's healthcare.
So you're seeing more activity there. The rally we're talking about that's happening Tuesday night in Sydney, it would have happened by the time people hear this, but the headline speaker is Barnaby Joyce from One Nation. What's One Nation got to do with it?
So what One Nation has to do with it is that they have a pro-life policy, which is strikingly similar to the anti-abortion policies that arose in the US and are being used by a range of groups here. And I'm sure there will be a lot of them at that rally. So it's a pattern that you see emerging. And I spoke to Prudence Flowers, who's an expert in how these sort of strategies get imported from the US and used here, about how they may be networking in some way, but it's not an organic thing. They've seen the playbook in the US. This is how things worked over there. You just start to chip away at abortion rights in any way that you can, which is why we see all these different bits of legislation that may not seem like major changes, but the idea is it's called incrementalism. You just slowly, slowly chip away. And there's a long history of the incrementalists, shall we say, versus the abolitionists, who say we shouldn't do these tiny bits of legislation, we should just be pushing to absolutely outlaw all abortion.
What has One Nation said in response to their, whether their policy is banning abortion? What do they actually stand for?
So perhaps another striking similarity, they haven't answered the questions. So Pauline Hanson has actually been on Joanna Howe's podcast numerous times, and on one of those times she said she wasn't against abortion in the first trimester. And that puts her at odds with Howe, who, again, wants to see it criminalised up till, I guess, the moment of conception. But the formal policy that's on their website is very much, we will take any and all opportunity to roll back access to abortion. It just doesn't say where that stops, which is a fairly critical part of a policy, I would have thought.
One Nation is growing in the polls. It's become a very popular party in Australia. Is it a coincidence that anti-abortion groups are increasing their activity at the same time? Are the two linked at all?
I suspect One Nation's rising popularity in the polls give a lot of people permission to perhaps venture into culture war areas that they might not have been as happy to venture into before. There has been a fairly long tradition, I've broken many times, but in Australia, of this move towards seeing abortion as healthcare, as between a woman and her doctors, not something that people in parliaments should be deciding happens. And I guess the broader a movement against that becomes, the more people who maybe see some of the misinformation that spreads online and believe it, that there can be sort of a feedback loop going on there.
I want to return to the reason for this rally happening, which is to do with New South Wales legislation that is coming into Parliament, and it's seeking to outlaw sex-selective abortions. And I'm just wondering, first of all, how common those actually are.
So according to the anti-abortion movement, they use a set of quite old data that shows it might shows indirect evidence that it might be happening in some communities, and that report sort of singles out Indian and Chinese migrant communities might be having abortions after the second or third child. There is a much more recent report from New South Wales Health which says of about 15,000 abortions, about 13 were sex selection, but 10 of those, it's a bit dubious because they were before 9 weeks when you can't actually really tell the sex of the fetus. So two different sets of data there. It doesn't seem to be a massively overwhelming problem. The actual outcome, if this legislation was put into place, it would have a chilling effect on both women and doctors in case their stories were doubted somehow. So at the moment, a woman can go in and get an abortion. She doesn't need to provide a reason up until a certain date, and after a certain date, different in all states, two doctors have to approve and so on. So imagine now a woman going in for abortion. She's meant to be able to have for any reason, but she's Chinese or Indian. The doctor goes, well, why? Why do you want one? I have to make sure it's nothing to do with this, but it's going to deter her from seeking it. It's going to deter the doctor from delivering it. It stigmatizes those communities, and it's unlikely to make any difference to abortion levels anyway.
And there's other real world consequences as well from a lot of this campaign activity we're seeing, because there's now Queensland and South Australia legislation.
And I have lost count of how much there has been so far since 2024, but I'm going to say at least five or six other bits of legislation have been put up and have not got through anywhere. Now, there is one in South Australia which will ban abortions after 25 weeks. It takes out the reasons for being able to get an abortion after that, so severe fetal abnormality, for example, or a threat to the woman's health. So the only reason you can get an abortion is if the woman is on the verge of death, really. And again, that's just chipping things away. And then in Queensland, and this vote may have happened by the time you, dear listeners, are hearing this, there's a disallowance motion to stop nurses and midwives from being able to prescribe abortions. And so in Queensland, access can be really hard anyway, particularly for people in rural and regional areas. And so if all of a sudden nurses and midwives can't help you out, like the medical abortions are for the very early on, so the first 9 weeks of a pregnancy, that means that pregnancy will advance to the point where it's more complicated, more difficult, and so on.
We'll be right back.